Story Chat with John Fornoff, the art and passion of storytelling. Here's your host, Brian Bullebush.
Hello, everyone. My name is Brian Bullebush, and welcome to Story Chat with John Fornoff and presenting the one and only John Fornoff. How are you doing, John?
It's a little okay. I'm here. Get a little nervous when we make it too big there with the trumpets and stuff. It's just kind of like I'm just John. I just tell about stories. But anyway, thank you.
I'll do my best.
You,
P.T. Barnum.
Yes, you did a great P.T. Barnum there. That's right. So thank you.
Yeah.
All right. What are we here for?
So we're back, and we have received a couple.
Yes,
we have recently released the podcast. We recorded our first four episodes way in advance, so those were more or less the pilots. But from now on, it's going to be a weekly or bi-weekly thing for John and I, because we have very busy schedules. But we have actually gotten some feedback on our first episodes, and I think one of the big ones is tackling the issue of writer's block.
Yes. What to do if you are stuck? And so we've got Andrea was our first person that popped a question to us. Andrea, also Shireen. So we're saying hi to everybody out there. And Josh, you guys. So feel free, ask us questions like these three did. And pretty much they're asking, what do you do when you get stuck? Either stuck when you start or stuck when you get into writing and then just like, whoa, I'm facing a stuck place. And Josh said, yes, please answer this question. All right. So what do you do when you hit that, like that wall? So I'm going to share with you some ideas. And I was telling Brian early, this is to help you. We want to help you tell great stories. And that's all about changing hearts and minds and changing the world. It's pretty awesome what happens when you tell great stories. We want to help you with that. So if you're in a stuck place, I want to give you ideas. So let you know how I'm coming from it. I'm not saying, this is the way you always do things. No, I'm just, hey, here's some ideas that have helped me. If they help you, great. If they don't, sorry. Okay. I think something will stick here where we're hoping. All right.
These are at least good starting points to maybe to get you going down the unstuck path.
Right. The unstuck path, the path of the unstuck. All right. So let's start with a stuck thing. I want to encourage you. Are you ready? All right. Ready to be encouraged. All right. Here we go. You are never, ever stuck. Ever. There we go. Okay. Solved the problem. We're done.
All right. Let's go home. All right. Thank you for listening to this episode. Okay. All right.
No, it's interesting. If you're not a believer, I want to encourage you. If you're in a stuck place, it's the stuck place is an illusion. It is something your head makes up because there's a fear you got to face, a fear you got to overcome. And the love of what you do will overcome the fear of what you've got to do. All right. So the love will help you overcome the fear. So talking to if you're a non-believer. If you are a believer, there's something about you're never stuck, because even when you're in a holding pattern outside, there's something that God's doing on the inside. You're always moving forward. Even if you're not moving forward outside, you're moving forward inside. So even though it feels like you're stuck, this applies to life, doesn't it, right? It might feel like you're stuck, but God's working on your character. He's working on your heart. He's doing something here. Those that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. When you wait, and you're waiting for that waiting posture, God's renewing your strength. And what happens is you mount up with wings like an eagle and you start to fly. Okay, so if you're feeling stuck, get ready to fly. You're getting ready. Okay, God's getting you ready. There's something in here. And if you're a non-believer, just encourage you. It's an illusion. It's a lot of it's right here. So let me tell you a quick story. What happened? This is real life, because we're real lighter, real writers. We're not real speakers, but we're real writers. And so we deal with real life situations. So here's what I faced just a few weeks ago. And you will feel the terror, okay? Get ready to be terrorized, okay?
Oh boy.
So I was behind on another writing project. There was an editing project. It was like pretty intense, and it put me behind on everything. So I was going to write this big script for The Adventum. It's a biblical adventure, big adventure show that Wise Comedia puts out. And I was going to write the whole thing write the whole thing. This next, it's the story of Joshua.
Now this is this battle. The one that you were telling me about that was finished out to be like 230 pages.
Oh yes. Like, that's it. That's grief. It. Okay. So, it was 230 pages. I had to write in 1 week, like 7 days. So my previous record was Captain Bailey's Heir. I wrote 30 pages a day in a week. And that was, it just flowed. Boom. It was just flowing. But now I was faced with, this is more than 30 pages a day. And it's like, oh, wow. And I got to do this in 1 week, 230 pages in 1 week. So it's sort of like mountain in my face.
Sheer cliff, like, right in front of me.
It's like, oh my goodness. So it's, oh, that's the hardest thing. It's like, by the way, when you're working on a project, sometimes the hardest part is the start. Mm-hmm. So you start with your heart. It all rhymes. And it can go, anyway, let's start from our heart. Okay?
You focus on the heart part.
Yes, let's focus on the heart. What happens is you tap into your passion. Why do I want to write this? Well, because I've got a deadline. That's a good one. Or you want to tap into a deeper passion. So what I love is when this happens or when I write this and that kind of stuff. So, and the other thing is too, it's sort of like, how do you eat an elephant, you know, one bite at a time, that kind of thing. How do you climb a mountain one step at a time? So, here's what you do. Just get the first page done. Just write that first page. And when you write the first page, it's like, oh, I got one done. I can do a second page. And you start pick up a rhythm. The first page is sometimes the hardest. You ever have flying dreams when you're flying? Like when you're flying in the air? Have you ever had those?
Way too Brian? Often. And usually I'm falling.
Oh, you're falling. That's not good.
No, that's the opposite. No. Yeah, and okay. Then you roll out
when
of
you're
bed
flying,
and
just like,
and then it just doesn't work.
Flying a Superman or flying like I forget how I fly, but anyway, it's when I'm flying my dream, it is glorious. But to get there is really tough. In my dreams, I have to run super hard, super fast. Usually, somebody's like chasing me, and it's a bad guy, and I have to think really, really, really hard and believe really, really, really hard. So I like writing. And the first inch is the hardest. The first page is the hardest. And it's like, I'm just like, oh, yeah. But once I get 1 inch, it's like, if I can get one, like start to fly like 1 inch off the ground, right? I just start getting a little lift. Once I get 1 inch, it's a little easier to get 2 inches. And that's twice as much, by the way. When you reach page two, you're going twice as fast as you started.
No, it's 100% increase, technically. Yes.
Exactly. Keep going. So once I got 2 inches, like I can believe for 3 inches and 4 inches, and all of a sudden, like, I'm thinking through it. The hardest part is to start. But once you get started, all of a sudden, I'm getting a little height. Once you get a little height, it's like I believe more and more. And then soon, I'm flying. Same with writing. So it's a lot of mental process. It's like, just take it step by step, page by page. And once you get that momentum going, you start getting things. And what was fun is, as I'm writing, and just, I pray a lot too. That's also my out. So if you're a believer, you got a little, you got a cheat. Ask God. Okay.
Yeah.
He's the creator. He's the creator. And he's still creating. He's creating through you and me. And so I ask him for ideas. So as I'm writing, I'm laughing because I put jokes in there whenever, because I get bored when I write. So I like, that's good. Because I like to, you know, I want to be entertaining. Like as I'm writing it, I want to make it, you know, that kind of thing. So I'll put some humor in there. I'm laughing. That's a good sign. Or I'm crying. That's a good sign. Or I'm thinking, oh, that's good. It's like, it came from beyond me. And so, it's fun. So anyway, that's when you face your mountain, you do it one step at a time. So that's, and I got a couple more ideas. Anything else I want to, go ahead.
Part of the thing is, from your opinion and perspective, what do you think is the greatest attributor to writer's block? Why is writer's block a thing? Because that's what I've always been curious about. Mm-hmm. It's like, I just can't, like I'm halfway through a story and I just can't continue. And I don't know how to go far enough back to locate why I can't continue.
Great question. You ask great questions. Thank you very much.
It's my job. That's what I'm here for.
A lot of it is fear. It's just a fear of, if you're a perfectionist, it's a fear of getting it right. And you want to get it right. And so you don't want to put something on the page that's wrong. So there's a lot of fear going on. There's a lot of perfectionism going on. So how do you blast through that? Let me give you, I might've given a couple of these in a prior podcast, but there's always good repeating this one. Let's see here. I'll throw out some ideas. Wait. Before I do that, I want to give you this one because this is a new one. It's a new one that we haven't talked about in a previous broadcast. It's called Bite. Take a bite out of life. This is part of feeding your creativity. And you want to properly care and feed your creativity. Look for things around you in nature, in art, in music, in people that are beautiful, inspiring, true, or excellent. Take a bite out of life. So those things will inspire your writing. The other thing is there's a verse that says perfect love casts out all fear. So if you're dealing with a fear, really is what it is when you're facing a writer's block. So tap into the passion. Why are you excited about the story? Why are you excited about writing? Tap into that. A good example of that, when I was, I got to zip line with my son, Chris, in Colorado, which is beautiful, right? And, you know, it sounds like a great idea, right? No, it's not a good idea. It's terrible. What are you doing? My mind's going, you fool, what are you doing? You're going to jump off a cliff? What are you doing? My mind's just like doing that. And I'm looking over the cliff and there's like 200 feet down. I was like, oh, there's rocks below and, you know, and other people that have ziplined before, their remains are down there, you know? So I'm like, what am I doing? You know? And it's like, and this little kid gets on the zipline and he gets on there. I don't know. He's seven, something like that. And I usually like little kids. Usually.
But
this kid, I did not like. Anyway, so he gets on there and he goes, wee! And he flies through.
You didn't like him because he showed you up.
Yeah, right? Exactly right. That's exactly okay. What it is. Yeah, if we want to be truthful, that's exactly right. So so I noticed something. He focused on the joy of it. And that's something you want to do. Focus on the joy, not the fear. If you focus on the fear, you'll never start. But if you focus on the joy. So I just focus on, you know what? This is going to be fun. It's going to be fun. You kind of focus on the joy. And you know what? I just focused on this beautiful Colorado, right? It's all around me. I focused on the joy of ziplining. And I got on that zip line and I started going across. I was like, oh, this feels so good. Look, don't look down. Don't look down. Okay, just look around. It's beautiful. I just focus on the we. You know, the kid taught me something. And even though I despise them, I mean, not really. It was just me showing up. So it's like, focus on the joy of what you do. That'll power you through.
If I can interrupt you right now, is because I can speak this as coming out of college, and maybe mm-hmm. this is for our prospective students who have to write papers. I know when I went through film school, I had to write several scripts. There was no joy there in writing any of those papers. Like, I had to write a paper on, I think I had to write a paper on some fort in the Revolutionary War. I don't even remember. I think it was a book report that it was both writer's block and it was a slog because I just didn't want to do it.
Got it. That's a great point.
How do you fight that? Like, I get the joy of it and I get the fear and everything, but what if it's mm-hmm. just a project you don't want to do?
That's a great question. Cause I used to work in advertising. I had my own advertising industry when I was 24 and I had a fried chicken client and I had a
did he work for a fried chicken or was he a fried chicken?
He was a chicken it's very complicated. But anyway, it was Hart's Fried Chicken. It was wonderful. A bike shop and a car dealership. All right. So if I'm looking at, let's say I'm writing for a plumber's convention. Okay. So what I had to do is I had to find the passion, find myself in the project, find out what's going to make me interested in it. Like there's some angle that's going to make you interested. When I was a kid, I remember my fellow kids, you know, in school, whatever, they go up and say, this is a report on Christopher Columbus. It's like, oh my goodness, you're bored. I'm bored. Everybody's bored. Why are we doing this to each other? It's like, so what I did was I used to find something funny, find something you relate to, draw a cartoon, do something to make it enjoyable for you. Find the joy, find the passion in it. Find something that, find the joy in fried chicken. I did that. I made up funny rhymes and funny. I did a rap song before rap was cool and on chicken rap. That's kind of interesting. But anyway, I did just stuff like that. So there's even the most boring thing of all. For instance, I hope my client's not watching this, but anyway, I've got a client. No, he's a great, good friend of mine. He wants me to do something on LCD projectors for churches. And I'm like,
yeah, I can see how that would be boring.
Okay. So I'm thinking, oh man, so I got to find what interests me about that. Right now, nothing. But what does interest me? Well, and this is what your process is. Look for what interests, there's something interesting about that. you're going to find something. It could be your love for video games. It could be just for churches. I love to play in a worship band. And so I play a keyboard, right? So I'm thinking, oh, so I'm not so fascinated about the LCD projector, but I do enjoy the worship process. And that's what this magazine is about helping church leaders, worship leaders with LCD projectors. So I'm going to tap into the passion of what I'm excited about. And that's going to help me. So find your passion in the boring. Find an angle, you know, and there's always an angle.
Find the interesting in the boring, which.
Yes.
And that's, honestly, if I'd have heard that in school while writing a paper. Oof, that would have changed a lot. It changed a lot of my papers.
Yeah.
For the better.
Yeah. Yeah.
And really from what kind of maybe to distill it down a little bit, it's almost like an attitude thing.
Mm-hmm.
Very much so, because if you have a poor attitude going into it, at school, it sucks. Yeah, you don't want to be doing it. But if you have a poor attitude towards it, you're not going to be able to find the interesting in it. Because as soon as you said LCD projectors, I went, oh man, that doesn't sound fun. But then I actually started thinking about it. And for me, that would be the physics behind the LCD projectors. Because there, if you look at the tech that goes into those things, that is fascinating on how those mirror, like they have little mirrors inside them that are like nanometers across, that flick across. And it's just fascinating, the technology that goes in it. So if I was writing a paper or doing an advert on those, that might be the angle that I would go.
And that's good. So you're tapping into what gets you excited about. And that's a key right there. Here's a couple other things that'll help you as you're writing. And that is, give yourself permission to write something terrible.
But I don't want to write something terrible. I want to write something good the first time. Exactly. Soaks my ego.
Exactly. Bill Myers, who's a prolific writer, a great guy. He talked about just plop it on the page. And what he's talking about is he went to a potter. And the potter is, when the potter starts, he didn't go plop a beautiful vase. Okay. He doesn't do that. He goes plop a big lumpy slimy bit of clay, right? And he's brave enough to plop it on the potter's wheel, right? So be brave to plop. There we go. Be brave to plop. Just go plop.
And that could be taken in many different ways.
So we won't go there. But be brave. Give yourself permission to write something terrible. And here's what'll happen.
Allow yourself to plop. There we go.
Exactly. Just plop them. And you'll get to shape it later. You'll get to shape it later. Just get on the page. Here's something. You got two voices in your head when you're writing. You got the writer and you got the editor. The writer wants to write. The editor wants to edit. Well, there's something brilliant, isn't it? Okay. So the writer wants to, but the problem is the editor speaks up too soon. And it's like, so you're getting ready to write. And the editor's going, oh, what do you mean that word? What are you doing? I don't like your font, by the way.
Ooh,
you know, just
that
stuff
one hit
like
close
that.
To home.
Yeah. Okay. Exactly. And the editor's trying to edit. And the problem is, and here's a key phrase we said before, you never prune your seedlings. Okay. So you've got a seedling of an idea, right? It's popping up, little seedling, picture a little seedling in the woods, you know, and it puts out a little leaf, like boink, boink, boink. It's a cute little plant. And then you want to take the chainsaw. You want to prune it, and you take the chainsaw to it, right? All right, and what happens? The seedling dies. Your idea dies if you want to edit it. So here's what you do: shut the editor out. Don't throw him out the window. Throw him out the door. Shut the door. Okay, because you need to come back. The editor needs to come back. Shut the door.
You don't
want to
kill him.
Don't want to kill him.
You
right?
You need him. You don't want to kill him yet.
It's all in the timing. This regards people too, because there are people that will shut down your ideas. I had an editor friend that was working. I would pitch ideas, and this editor would say, "Oh, that'll never work." it just died. Okay, so I learned: do not present ideas to this person. Go ahead and just write it. Go ahead and write it. All right, and get it on the page. And once it's on the page, now bring back your editor. And your editor can say, "Oh, okay, you here's your structure problem. You need to start here and that kind of stuff. Now you can shape it. All right. So just give yourself permission to write something terrible and start writing. And you can edit it later. Don't worry. You'll get to that."
To kind of take that and slap it on the opposite end, because I know actually I've talked with Andrea in the past. She is very passionate about one of the scripts that she's currently working on.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I as much as I was giving it crap earlier, I've been very passionate about some of the scripts that I've been working on. But you get to a place, just for one reason or another, I'm fully passionate, I'm fully in, I'm engaged, I love what I'm doing, I love, and the hero comes to the edge of the cliff, and I don't know what to put next. I don't know where the story goes. And that sort of writer's block, to where you're fully engaged, and it's very frustrating that you just can't continue. And it's not that there's the fear, it's just you genuinely don't know where to go. What about that sort of writer's block?
Sure.
Is it similar? Is it the same?
That's a little different. That's like you're starting, and Shireen was asking a question. She's got a devotional she's working on, and she was working through. She got about three quarters through, and all of a sudden, like, oh, it's starting to sound a little the same. I don't know. How can I keep it fresh for the end? That kind of, what can I do? So here's an idea called take a walk around the block. And literally, it's like take a walk around the writer's block. So you take a walk around the block, just like take a walk. Just take your mind off of it. Before you do that, write down, okay, I need to solve this problem. Okay, I need to do this, whatever. And write it down, write it. I need to do this, all right? And then put it away. Just walk, just take a walk. You can take 20 minutes, take an hour, take a day if you can afford that. Whatever you can do, just. And what your subconscious mind is working on that next step. This is a good thing to do, by the way, when you're doing a long-term project and you're at a stopping point, you're getting ready to start tomorrow. Put a little reminder in there just before you end. I put like double asterisk, next, colon, here's what I want to do. It's just one sentence. And what happens is your subconscious mind is working on that next step.
It'll chew on it.
Right. So you're chewing on it. You're ruminating even while you're doing other things. So when you take a walk around the block, you're just kind of getting fresh ideas. Ask God. That's always my cheat. Always ask God to get through. That's always a good one. And he'll give you fresh ideas. If you're a non-believer, hang in there, because there's always you can tap into sources of creativity all over the place. Remember, I talked about the bite thing: beautiful, inspiring, true, excellent. Those things you can find that. If you're a believer, what's cool is you're tapped into an infinite creator, an infinite God, and he's always got ideas. He's doing a new thing. He's got new wineskins, new wine. He's got a new song. His character always stays the same. He's always full of love and faithfulness, that kind of thing. His character never changes, but the way he expresses it, always new. It's like, and here's the wisest man who ever lived, Solomon. There's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new. Just nothing new under there. So that's what he said. Now, he didn't do it in a Southern accent, but.
Well, yeah.
Okay. But he also said, Dr. Mark Hamby with Lamplighter Theater, Dr. Mark Hamby pointed this out. There's another phrase in what Solomon talks about, wisest man who ever lived. He says, new under the sun and under heaven. When you're under the sun, it's like doing it like everybody else does. It's kind of boring. When you do things under heaven, you've got a supernatural element to your story. And you're tapping into something beyond you. All right. So key is, final thing. Well, there's a bunch of ideas, but right from your heart, there's something in your heart that's passionate. Even when you reach a stuck point, what was the original passion that got you into the story? So reaching a stuck point, go back to that first love, that original passion that got you into the story. You're going to find it. And if you can't find it, write something. You know, like three chapters forward or three scenes forward. There's a scene you really do want to write. You're at a stuck point now. Well, just write that one. Write that scene that you're excited about. All right. And all of a sudden you can see connecting points to connect back to where you are now. And you'll find those points. I hope something there stuck.
it's a bunch of good stuff. We've only got a couple minutes left.
Okay, cool.
I'm having writer's block about the writer's block.
Okay. Well, just to let you know, Brian and I are here to serve you guys. And
absolutely.
I'm not an expert podcast guy, but I write for a living, and I love to write, and I love to inspire you. So feel free, hit us with questions if you're running to something, and feel free to challenge. Also, it's like, you know, I appreciate this, but always say nice, something nice, please. But but feel free to say, like, I don't know if I agree with that point or whatever. Feel free. Hey, I'm having problems with this. Feel free.
And I know at the end of the podcast, I have yet to receive a single email at storychatwithjohn@gmail.com. That's at the end of the video if you want to see that. Or if you're watching the YouTube, leave a comment in the comment section. We have yet to hear back from anybody. And I know we're fairly young, but we want to hear back from you guys.
Oh, yeah, please do. Yeah.
Whether if it's a question, it's a comment, just stop be by, nice. Say hi.
Be nice.
We'll try to, please be nice. I've seen way too many internet trolls, and we'll try to integrate your questions, because this is largely an opportunity. We're trying to get good opportunities to teach and have a great community and edify and educate. Because I'm being educated here. So even if nobody else is asking questions, I can ask all the questions.
Well, you're asking great questions. Before we wrap up, I got one more as you're talking about that, and we'll wrap up here. Is and thank you, Brian. You ask great questions. It really helps me keep me on toes. I love that, and we love questions from you guys too. So another thing you might want to try, I'm just thinking about this, is talk with your other writer friends or talk with somebody else, and you'll. It's just like, hey, and you start to bounce ideas off of each other. And that's another way to get through those little stuck places. But the bottom line is, you are never stuck. It's an illusion. You'll get over it. You'll get around it. You'll go over it. You'll blow it up, whatever. There's always a way through. So, and one of those ideas that I just shared with you should stick. So there we go. And I got something to say in closing. It's like a thing that came to me.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Go
so
for
should
it.
I share it? Like, it's this thing that just like, it just, I mean, not just now, it just like came to me as I was talking. So there's something about what we're doing, what we do here, and what really my passion and Brian's passion with me is, well, for me, I want to tell great stories. I want to tell great stories, and I want to help you tell great stories. And together, you and I can change hearts and minds. And together, we can change the world. So, let's do it.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Story Chat. If you want to hear more, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. If you have any questions for John or feedback on the show, please email us at storychatwithjohn@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.